Well, good afternoon, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Obviously, I cannot be with you today, but I am preparing this for you today. We are on the verge of starting our study. This is kind of the intro to the study that we're going to be doing called Groundworks. Hopefully, all of you have one. If not, I know they're there for you to get today. We're doing this study around the state right now and hoping to have a pretty good product when it's all said and done. And the purpose is helping believers, both seasoned and new, get more grounded in the faith so that they will be able to give a defense for the hope that lies within them, which is what the charge that Peter gave to us was, that we should always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that lies within us to anybody that asks. And so in preparation for that today, what I want to do is spend a couple of minutes in Hebrews. This is a pre-lesson lesson or a pre-study lesson. We're going to be in Hebrews 2. Let me read these verses to you, and hopefully you'll see how this really connects to what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 says this, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." Now, the charge here is that we would not drift. Now, I believe that this relates to where we are going is because it has been amazing to me over the past several years as I've gotten really prepared for this study that we're putting together right now, as I've spent time with seasoned believers who have no idea really what they believe or why they believe what they believe. And this is not a new problem. I mean, this is a very, very old problem. But I've really gotten to the point where it's become a source of frustration, you know, that so many people don't have a foundation underneath them. And I read something recently, I think it was from J.I. Packer, and he said that the inability of the church to be able to defend their faith is not because God hasn't availed to us the ability to do that through his word. It's because we are lazy. We can defend our political position. You know, we can defend the things that we think. Most folks that I know can do a really good job showing why they do what they do for a living, but very few can defend their faith. It's because we're lazy. We're not spending time in the Word of God. Let's just call it what it is. And the way this passage relates to that is that the author of Hebrews is concerned that this audience is just going to drift their way through the Christian life rather than be taken in by their Christian faith and want to know God in a deeper way, know Christ in a deeper way, and understand and know the Spirit in a deeper way. So he says, you know, we need to be careful. He says, pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift. Well, what had they heard? Well, if you just look at the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, they had heard that Jesus was their prophet, Jesus was their priest, Jesus was their king, Jesus is the heir of all things, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact representation of the nature of God. He's the one who made purification for our sins. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is greater than all of the angels. He is worthy of all of our worship, and he is our only access to God. Those are some of the things. And he says, therefore, pay much closer attention to what you have heard, or you will drift, okay? Think of some of the exhortations in Hebrews. Hebrews 3:12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away. So in Hebrews 3:12, he's concerned that they may fall away. In Hebrews 2:1, he's concerned that they may drift. What's the answer? Well, he tells us in Hebrews 12:1, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That really is the whole book of Hebrews is just a doctrinal thesis on the greatness of Christ and how he is worthy of our eye. He is worthy of our focus. He is worthy of our meditation. He is worthy of our everything. Yet he says, don't drift. We must pay close attention lest we drift, right? We don't want to drift. Or because God has spoken by his Son in these last days, because he's the creator and the sustainer and the owner and the ruler and the redeemer of the world, because he's above all things, including the angels and all other forces, may we be careful that we don't drift away from that. This is the first command in the book of Hebrews. He's not asking them to do something. He's asking them to be aware that they don't do something. Don't drift, you know? The Christian life is not a big still pond where you can just go out in that pond on a raft and barely make it to the banks. But the Christian life is like jumping into a raging river, and the river is running against us, right? So if we are not swimming, if we are not pursuing, if we are not chasing after God, we will end up in another county by this afternoon, in another state by tomorrow. That's just the way that it's going to be. So he's saying, don't drift. Don't become docile in your Christian faith. Don't just sit there and expect yourself to become holy. I think the exhortation would be, open the book and listen to Christ. Open the book and learn about God, okay? That's the exhortation in this book. Or what we're trying to do in this study, begin to dig that foundation and to lay it deep down into the ground, so that, as Jesus warned, when the rains and the storms come, your house won't fall. It's interesting in that illustration of the one who builds his house on the rock and the one who builds his house on the sand, that they both have the same weather forecast, you know? I mean, they're both getting the same wind forces. They're both getting the same rain. They're both getting the same, you know, weather. And the question is, where is your house built? Well, the person that's drifting, that hasn't really laid their foundation deep, they just keep finding themselves way down the river. They keep finding themselves backing up. I mean, the question is, are you growing in your faith? Are you growing in your love for Christ? Are you growing in your adoration for the Father? Are you growing in your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the flesh? The exhortation here is, don't drift. Don't just sit there. Grow up. Dig that foundation, build that house, stop leaning in, as the author of Hebrews and Paul in Corinthians say, don't be living on milk, don't be living on the elementary principles of the world, but begin to grow up, establish that doctrinal statement that is biblically accurate, that holds you in place and allows you to begin to press forward in the Christian life. So he's exhorting us to listen to heed, to look. What distinguishes the Christian from a non-Christian? That a Christian has been born again with a new nature that regards Christ as supremely valuable above and over all other things. That's who a Christian is, right? That we value Christ above all things. So we listen to Christ. We consider Christ. We fix our eyes on Christ. We don't drift. So don't drift. Now, this study that we're going to be doing is written to help you at least dig into and get that foundation underneath you so you can begin to stand firm. But then we've got to begin to press forward as we look to Christ. The whole Christian life grows out of listening, heeding, looking, applying, obeying. We need to pay closer attention, not drifting, because Christ is worthy of our attention. What do you fix your eyes on during the week? What are you focusing on right now? You know, are you focusing on being a stronger, deeper, more established, more equipped believer? Are you getting sucked into just the political wave of the culture right now? It's not that that's not important. It is important. But what's more important is, how am I going to be a witness? It's interesting to me that believers right now are more concerned with making sure that their cabinets are stocked with ammo, with whatever's going to happen in the next couple of months, than they are that their hearts are filled with Christ. You know what I mean? It's interesting, really, that the battle we're battling right now is not against flesh and blood, but we're making it like it is. But the closer you get to Christ, the more you're going to see that. He's also asking us to pay attention to what we have heard concerning the Son, because if we don't, we will begin to drift, and maybe we'll just drift into destruction. Maybe we will drift into complacency. The Scriptures are not calling us to stand still. They're calling us to stand firm as we push forward. So the exhortation is, do not drift. So how do we avoid drifting? How do you avoid drifting in your Christian life? Number one, Hebrews 2:1, pay close attention to what you have learned about Christ. Meditate on that. Take it in. Ask God to use it to transform you. Colossians 3:1, set your mind on things above, not on the things of this world. Another, Hebrews 12:1, fix your eyes on Jesus. Ephesians 4:17, stop living in the futility of your mind. Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit, because when we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When we are walking by the Spirit, we are not standing still. Ephesians 4:22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created in the likeness of God. Psalm 90:14, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. The psalmist says to seek the Lord first thing in the morning. Now, the accountability in this passage is interesting, because he's asking us to be careful that we don't drift. We need to fix our eyes on the things that we know about Christ. But he says we're going to be held accountable. We just are. Verse 2, since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, he's talking about the giving of the law, right? And every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. He's talking about the overflow of the law, the accountability of the law. With the people that received the law, God said, do the law. They said, we will do the law. They did not do the law. And you know the story of the Israelites. You know, thank God for his grace that even in the midst of that, he was saving them as they, in their own inability, looked forward to the work of Christ for their salvation. But he said if those guys in the Old Testament ignored the law on tablets of stone, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So he's going from the giving of the law, which was a great thunderous moment in the history of Israel, but then he moves it straight into Christ. He said it was declared to us at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard, while God bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts by the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. He's going, this happened. Christ did it. Do you believe it? I mean, this happened. Christ did it. Do you believe it? Are you convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you understand the significance of the truth that he is seated at the right hand of God? Are you pursuing God daily in Christ by the Holy Spirit, asking him to renew you, to transform you, to make you more aware of what's going on around you so that you can be a witness for his glory? Since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression of disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape? In other words, in the Old Testament, God didn't speak directly through his son, but he spoke through intermediary messengers, such as the angels and the prophets. But in the New Testament, and they were held accountable. I mean, think of the children of Israel when the prophet would say, repent, and they didn't repent. Think of what happened. Think of the end of the Old Testament, what was going on there. Think of the fact that the Israelites were under Roman rule when Jesus showed up because of their absolute disobedience to the clear directives of God. In the New Testament, God himself stood forth from heaven in Jesus, spoke this great salvation with his lips and his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And he's going, you got to pay attention to that. You have got to focus on that. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect what Christ has done. Don't neglect what the Word of God says. Because we, as believers, are much more accountable today if we neglect what Christ has already done than they were if they ignore what Christ said, what God said Christ was going to do. There is great accountability for us today. That we call ourselves Christian. A Christian is a person who has believed in the finished work of Christ. A Christian is a person who has trusted God that his son and the redemption of his son's blood is the only way through which they can be saved, they can be redeemed, they can be made new. That's what a Christian is. Is that what you believe? If you have, he says, don't drift. Stand firm. Push forward. Swim against the current of what the prince of the power of the air is bringing your way. And he's bringing it every single day. And he's stepping it up right now, right? With all that we're dealing with politically and socially and all of that stuff. But God's right in the midst of it. And he's calling us, his church, to stand firm. Don't drift. Don't get caught up in the riptide of the sin of the culture, but trust God and pursue him in the midst of it, even if it causes you to drown, because even if we would, we're going to end up in heaven anyway, even if it costs you your life, because we have been passed a baton from the saints of old that is filled with the blood of the martyrs, and now we in the church are going to run the race passionately, eyes fixed on Jesus. We're going to swim against the current of society. We are not going to sit there and drift county to county to county. We're going to speak the gospel to others. If we neglect this great word in Christ, we're much more guilty than the Old Testament people who received it through angels, right? We have a direct word in front of us. We have a Genesis to Revelation account of what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, he's saying, do not drift. Do not just sit still. Don't do it. Trust Jesus. Some things from C.S. Lewis kind of drive some of this home. As we get ready for this study, you got to do week one between now and next week, because we're going to jump in week one next week. I'm just going to be building on what you learn. In the first week, it's going to be on the inerrancy of the scripture. It's going to be on the authority of the scripture, the sureness of the scripture, the guarantee that the scripture is true, that word, Psalm 119 says, is already settled in the heavenlies. It is not up for debate. The next week, we're going to look at how we have debated it. We've tried to change it. We've tried to adjust it to fix the source social norm. We've just drifted away from the center truth of the inerrancy of the word, that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for training, for correction, so that we may be adequate, that we may be equipped for every good work. The only way you're going to be equipped for every good work, the only way you're going to be adequate for every good work, the only way you're going to be able to push forward rather than drift backwards, is to be growing in your understanding of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as they are given in the Word. C.S. Lewis said this. He warned us that there are many people that attempt to evangelize others by attempting them to believe that Christianity is good. But he says it doesn't matter if Christianity is good if it's not true. Some say, I'm going to be a Christian to make my life better. It doesn't really matter to me whether any of this ever happened. It's going to make my life better. C.S. Lewis says, no, you've got to embrace Christianity because it's true. Because if it's not true, then it's not good. What we want to do, first of all, as we begin to dig in, is to go ahead and stake the flag that I believe that this is true. I believe that this is inerrant truth. I believe that there is no error here, and therefore I am going to dig in and build my foundation on the truth of the Word of God. So when any other wind comes, when any other wave comes, I will not falter. Why? Because I've already staked this flag, I've already dug this foundation, and I believe these things to be true. I'm not going to drift through life letting other people convince me whether this is right or wrong. I've already, by the power of the Holy Spirit, said, Lord, your word is true. I've hidden it in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Let it be a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. I will not sway. I will not go to the right. I will not go to the left. This is the truth. He is saying, the author of Hebrews is saying, look, this is true. And it's serious because it's true. And because it's true, and because it's a work that is finished, do not drift. Do not become complacent and end up in the next county, end up in the next state, wherever that river leads. Push forward against the tide of this culture, and let's drive in that flag. Let's anchor in that foundation so that we can stand firm and always be prepared to give a defense to the hope that lies within us to anyone that asks. God, thank you, Father, for your grace, for your mercy. Strengthen us, Lord, as we do this study. Strengthen us, Lord, to not only learn what your word says, but to do what your word says, and give us great confidence to know that you've called us, Lord, and energized us by your spirit to walk by your spirit, to run by your spirit, to swim against the tide in your spirit, Father, because we want the world to know that you sent your son Jesus as the only means of salvation to this world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And God bless. I'm hitting the button.